This is a predictions episode. It is Christmas Day 2023, but I'm scheduling it for release on January 1st, 2024. And these are my thoughts on where I think things are heading. The funny thing is, I personally think predictions are useless in the sense that nobody is good at making them with anything approaching precision. As Mark Twain said, predictions are useless, especially ones about the future. I have a bookmark in Twitter titled Experts, in quotation marks, where I save predictions and analysis by experts who are just horribly, horribly wrong about predictions. Usually it's economists calling a recession or something like that. And I love old newspaper articles that make predictions, especially pessimistic or closed-minded ones, because those are usually the most wrong. And I have articles about how the automobile or the airplane or the personal computer or other inventions like that will never catch on because people are just so short-sighted and really bad at predictions. I also have tweets from people like Robert Kiyosaki and Peter Schiff and Ray Dalio, these people who have predicted 10 of the last two recessions. Every day from people like that, it's doom and gloom inside their little worlds. And of course, that makes for really great headlines, and it sells books. So the incentives are such that these loudmouth pessimists get rewarded when they're shilling their books or their gold or their Bitcoin. But the other reason I think predictions are useless is because the people making them apply human biases to their predictions. One is the precedent bias. This is saying that event X has never happened before, therefore it never will. Or its opposite, event X has always happened in the past, therefore, it always will. Another bias is the bias of expertise. These experts who make confident predictions about a particular outcome, they bring their expertise from their field to the situation, but ignore the totality of the situation, the totality of the contributions from other fields of science or whatever it may be. The personal bias I bring to this episode, and I'm well aware of it, is the optimism bias. My wife always says to me, "Typical American, you're too optimistic." But you have to understand where I'm coming from. I was born a month before the fall of the Soviet Union into a country that became the military and economic power of the world. And unlike my Israeli friends, for example, I didn't grow up with rocket attacks while I was going to school. Unlike my Korean friends, there was never a moment where I thought our northern neighbor would rush into the city while I slept. Unlike my Nepali friends, I've never gone hungry or worried about not having enough food or shelter or water. I'm immensely, immensely lucky and so grateful. But every single year of my life, things have gotten better in just about every important metric, not only in the country of my birth, but around the world. Consumer products have gotten cheaper and better. Crime rates have fallen. The average person has gotten wealthier with more free time, more access to information, more possibilities in every aspect of life, and most importantly, more equality of opportunity than at any point in history that I'm aware of. And I don't see any sign of that trend stopping. In fact, I predict it's going to accelerate in a big way in the coming years. Now, the downside of rapid change is that it's uncomfortable and it brings uncertainty. And inevitably, some people won't adapt. Billions of people won't adapt. And the next decade or two is going to be, I think, tumultuous from a cultural perspective. We don't know yet what that is going to look like. And the reason, I think, is that there is a special discipline and adaptability required to be a modern human that for many, many people is not easy. For most of human history, your profession was determined by your family or by your training, and things were very predetermined. There weren't as many choices in terms of career, in terms of where you lived, who you married, what you believed in terms of religion and politics, and on and on. But here, in the year 2024, there is nearly infinite choice, and it's overwhelming. I get that. It's also the first time in known history where the leading cause of death isn't war or famine or disease. And as a result, people turn toward self-actualization, And the problems of the day are things like obesity, depression, anxiety. Anxiety is a huge one, I think, which goes back to the not knowing what to do or what to believe. It's really hard for people. And people are always on. They're always watching something or listening to something and never taking the time to have some solitude to think through what they're doing or should be doing with their lives. But again, fair warning, here comes my optimism bias. I think this is all a phase. I think we will look back at social media, for example, the way we look at smoking now. Like, I can't believe that you used to be able to smoke in a restaurant. That is so crazy. And in the same way, I think we will be shocked that we used to carry a device like the smartphone that sucks up our visual attention. And we'll probably move to some sort of wearable that is less addictive. So it seems to me like we are in uncharted territory in terms of how technology is shaping our lives. And it takes a special discipline to maintain your mental health and your physical health. But even though our prediction abilities are terrible at best, I think it's a valuable exercise. And I have a hypothesis that by making predictions publicly like this, that I will get better at them. And while I'll be wrong in the details of everything I predict today, if I'm directionally correct on one or any of them, it will help me as I make decisions. So I think it'll be cool and humbling to look back when I'm, 84 years old and I have 52 years worth of predictions to see how horribly wrong I got everything. But maybe, just maybe, I'll get a few things right and it will help me to make better investment decisions or career choices or, decide which countries to live in, things like that. So my predictions are written down on a text document in front of me. I'm going to pull it up and I'll go through these one by one. I tried to only include predictions that are either A, contrarian, meaning they go against the mainstream thoughts of the day, or B, are surprising or remarkable in some way. So for example, while I was making this list, I wrote down that the S&P 500 is going to be up by 8% by the end of the year, but I deleted it because it's a boring prediction. If it goes up by 8%, well, that's just a historically average year. But I already said it, so there it is anyways. My first prediction is that the S&P 500 will be up by 8%, somewhere between 8% to 12% at year's end, 2024. Now, as for how I arrived at these predictions, there's this meme I love on the internet called the midwit meme. The midwit meme is, it depicts a bell curve where on the left side of the curve, there is the low wit and he's got an IQ of 55. He is portrayed as a caveman, the simpleton. He has this huge flat forehead and kind of a blank stare on his face, like he has no idea what's going on, but he looks satisfied. He has this like satisfied look on his face because ignorance is bliss. Then in the middle of that bell curve, where the majority of people are, where 80% of people are, these are your average intelligent people. These are the midwits, the name of the meme. They are shown as having somewhere between 85 to 115 IQ. And the graphic for the midwit is a guy looking super stressed out. He's gritting his teeth. His eyes are all red and there's tears rolling down his cheeks. And he just looks frustrated, like nothing is going his way. Then on the right side of the bell curve is the high wit. The high wit is portrayed as this wise Jedi character. He's got a hood on and he's got this smug look on his face. Life is good for him because he can outsmart everyone. And that's the top 10% of the smartest people. They are up around 145 IQ level or above. And this meme gets applied to all sorts of things. So one example would be investing. I'm going to read this one I pulled from the internet. So the midwit in this meme about investing says, no, you need to take the time to study and time the market and hire a financial advisor and pick individual stocks and get an MBA and then also invest in private equity and hedge funds and buy real estate and use margin and also buy crypto and also execute complicated option strategies. And then the low wit and the high wit guys both say the same thing. They just say, buy and hold index funds. And as another example, let's take, I don't know, health. For health, the midwit might say something like, I count calories, I fast, I eat organic, I take ice baths, I take supplements, I have a personal trainer, I do CrossFit, and on and on and on. And then the low wit and the high wit both say, I eat healthy and stay active. So the point being, of course, that on almost any topic, the smartest and the dumbest people arrive at the same conclusion, and that conclusion is usually the simplest solution. The midwit, meanwhile, overwhelms himself in complexity and ends up with a worse outcome. So what does all that have to do with that, with predictions? Why do I bring that up? I haven't arrived at any of these predictions through careful study and analysis. I'm not a politician. I'm not a scientist. I am the low wit. I'm making these predictions with the confidence of one simple truth, which is that experts almost always get predictions wrong, and so I will be exactly as wrong as they are. Okay, let's get into these predictions. I have some notes here that I'm going to reference as I go through them. So my first prediction is that this is the year that AI starts to replace jobs in a significant way. To put a number on it, I'm going to call it 5%. 5% of job types will be rendered obsolete by artificial intelligence. But here's the nuance. It will not replace employment. On net, I predict that unemployment will be down in the United States by the end of this year because new jobs are going to be created. New ways to make money online will be created. People will create better jobs to do when they don't have to man the cash register or answer phones or whatever it is. So in summary, as of today, unemployment stands at 3.7% in the United States. I think 5% of job types are going to be replaced by AI. But despite that, the number of unemployed will be something lower than 3.7%. And yes, I know that's a bold prediction because unemployment is already historically low, but that's why I added it to the list, because it's remarkable. Related to AI, here are some predictions for AI companies, etc. OpenAI will release ChatGPT-5 in June of this year, and that's going to be the backbone for the killer app, the thing that gives AI real-world usability. It's going to be, when it's released, many times smarter than the models that we currently have, and it's going to make a lot of skills accessible to anyone with an internet connection. And with that, we're going to see a continuation in the rise of one-person businesses. Individuals who build apps or websites or provide services using AI models like ChatGPT. And here's a related prediction. I do not think that humanity will achieve artificial general intelligence this year. I do think it's going to happen sooner than most people think, but let's check back in 2025 and I'll make a new prediction then. But we're close, within a decade for sure. As for the business winner of 2024, I hereby predict that the company called Figure is going to be the biggest star of this year. They aren't a publicly traded company, so I can't put a dollar amount on it, but I really believe that this is going to be their breakout year. And if it doesn't happen this year, for the sake of prediction, I'm going to say it will. And in fact, if you've never heard of Figure until now, but you start seeing them all over the news by year's end, then we can consider this prediction correct. So Figure, if you don't know, is a company that designs and manufactures humanoid robots that are already being used to replace manufacturing and warehouse workers and really any other type of repetitive manual labor. And the founder, he's a young guy, he's 37, but he's like a young Elon Musk, like super ambitious, super smart. His first company was Archer Aviation, which is an electric airplane company. But anyways, these robots that they're making will replace over 7 million warehouse and transportation jobs in the US alone. And at the end of the day, they are addressing a multi-trillion dollar problem. And from what I've seen, they're doing it better than anyone else. You know, Tesla has a bot, Samsung has a bot, but I put my money on Figure. Moving on to my next technology and business prediction, the Apple Vision Pro, which as of this recording doesn't have an official release date yet, will be released sometime around early March. That's my prediction. And it's going to get off to a slow start. You'll see some sensational headlines like, is this the end of Apple, or Apple's big miss, or something stupid like that. But by Christmas of this year, it's going to be another major source of revenue for Apple. And they're going to announce Gen 2 for 2025. And more importantly, they're going to announce a mixed reality device, which is going to be the next major leap in the devices that we use every day. Because at that point, Meta and Microsoft and Samsung are all going to jump into the mix, and they're going to come out with some really good devices. And I can't put numbers on the number of devices that will sell or anything like that, because I don't know. I'm not that deep into it. But to put it in concrete terms, by the end of this year, you will see the early adopters in your life replace their smartphones with a mixed reality device, or maybe some type of wearable, like the Humane pin device, if you've ever seen that. So in other words, by the end of this year, Apple is going to start the process of killing the iPhone with the next big thing, just like the iPhone killed the iPod. My next prediction is in the political realm, and it's that Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. This prediction depends on one other prediction, which is that Joe Biden will not make it to the election, either due to health or simply retiring, or maybe, hopefully, he'll be told not to run by his party, because let's be honest, they'd be wise to do that. The dude is 81 years old and he's not doing well mentally. There is some cognitive decline going on there, which isn't fair to anyone. But what's the phrase? I don't have a pig at the feeding trough or a horse in the race. I'm blissfully ignorant of US politics at the moment, so I don't know what sentiments are like on the ground, and I don't really care. But yeah, I predict Donald J. Trump is going to win the presidency of the United States. Now, a contrarian prediction. All over the world right now, it seems like just about everyone is saying that Twitter isn't going to make it through 2024 for some reason or another, that Elon Musk has run it into the ground and will either sell it or it'll go bankrupt before the end of the year. My prediction is that Twitter will be just fine. I think it's going to be fine. I don't know what their monthly active user numbers are, but I bet whatever it is, it will be higher when I check in 1 year from today. Let's call it 10% higher. And along with that, I bet there will be rumors of Twitter going public again. To stray into the realm of geopolitics, I'm going to make predictions on what I think are the two biggest events going on in the world right now. First is the war in Ukraine. I predict it will come to an end by the summer of this year. Let's call it early August. President Zelensky will surrender and be forced into some type of political exile, or possibly he'll be executed. And secondly, the war in Israel will not end this year. I predict that that situation is in the opening months of what is going to be a decade-long conflict. The intensity will die down. It's not going to be as kinetic as it is right now, but urban warfare is really difficult, and I don't see any near-term resolutions to that situation. My last prediction is that all of the predictions I just shared with you will be wrong in the sense that they won't come to pass as I've stated them. I may be directionally correct on some of them, but if I get any of them correct in the details, well, it's just luck. But we are on the precipice of massive change to just about every aspect of how we live. In the future, you will look back at 2024 to about 2026, 2027 or so as the starting point of when AI augments everything. Future humans will look back on books, for example, from the pre-AI era, which is going to go down as 2023 and earlier, where they'll look back and appreciate them for how labor intensive they were. Like, wow, somebody actually sat down and wrote those words themselves without an AI assistant. What an archaic and interesting skill that is. Or, wow, listen to this speech. He's actually that articulate. That's unsynthesized and unassisted, but he can actually speak like that. Or, people used to drive cars themselves. Can you imagine how dangerous that must have been? or people used to have to learn languages if they wanted to communicate with people from other countries. How primitive. So this is a super exciting time, and every day I feel so lucky to be here for it. And the final thought I'll share with you is this. Concerning optimism, why not be optimistic? The fact that you're listening to me right now means the optimists have always been right throughout history. It means everyone who predicted the end of the world in nuclear disaster was wrong. The fact that I'm speaking freely and uncensored to you right now means 1984 and all the dystopian novels ever written have been wrong. The fact that I'm speaking English and not German or Japanese, the fact that the world's computers didn't stop working in Y2K and COVID didn't kill everyone, even if things don't seem good or trending in a positive direction, however you define that, it is probably only in your particular area or in this particular time. In a different place and on a long enough time horizon, the trend is undeniably that things are getting better, which I define as increasing the quality of opportunity, greater abundance of resources, and the possibility for a healthier life. Happy New Year, and I wish you a peaceful and abundant 2024.